The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We have John Hayden on the line, the founder of Inbound Zombie. John, welcome.
Hi, Byron. How are you? Thanks for
pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for being here.
Should be fun.
We have an interesting guest that is a social media expert and guru and marketing guru for nonprofits. An interesting combination. Is working for nonprofits in fact profitable?
Yeah, and it keeps me very, very busy.
Tell us a little bit about your angle and your position and trying to help great organizations.
Basically what I do is my background is I primarily worked at for-profit companies, okay? Software companies. I worked for a media company. I have to start in the late 90s. Healthcare companies. I worked for Blue Cross Massachusetts, right? And, you know, one thing led to the next, and I had to, really think about how I was living my life. Like, what kind of meaning am I really creating for other people? And there's only so far that money can get you. You know, it reaches a diminished point of return. So, you know, you can make so much, but happiness is, it takes a lot more to be happy. And so I really started, concurrently, I started working with, like, nonprofits kind of on the side, outside of my for-profit corporate type of work, and really found that there was a good fit. Like, the knowledge that I had, the experience that I had, they were able to get such a huge return from what I was doing for them, it made me think, well, hey, maybe I can do this more because I like it. It makes me happy knowing that I'm actually having an indirect impact on something that's creating value in people's lives, you know. So, for example, an organization that really fights to eliminate spinal muscular atrophy, okay, to me, I feel great when I'm able to impact that organization as opposed to selling another piece of software to somebody else who can just use that to make more money for their own for-profit company. You know,
John, why the focus on nonprofits? I mean, in general, was it the passion that you're speaking of here? Was it just the fact that you thought there was really some noise that you could make within the social media sphere with nonprofits because of the cause-related issues and, you know, heart-throbbing, interest people have in some of these groups?
Yeah, you know, I think there were really three things. First was the passion that I had, okay? And again, I need to sleep at night, okay? And I love the fact that a nonprofit that I work with, they can actually get more results as from working together, right? Second is that the focus on the nonprofit area enabled me as a business person to really focus on a niche so that using the web to market myself, it was a lot easier for me to create authority in a specific space, all right? And then the third reason that I decided to focus on it was that there was such a huge learning gap that I could easily fill, okay? Nonprofits in general, and I'm not talking about all of them, but in general, they are a little bit, you know, behind the curve in terms of adopting technology and being marketing savvy, okay? So the gap was much easier to fill as opposed to me doing social media for, like, Google, okay? You see what I'm getting at?
So, sure.
Those are the three things.
Tell me a little bit about how you establish authority in a niche like nonprofits. What did you have to bring to the table, and what made you become this authority that you now are in the nonprofit space?
Okay. Well, I just want to clarify, I'm not like the authority.
Who is, by the way?
For sure. And there are no. The only expert. I'm an expert to the extent that I have actually gotten experience, I've gotten results. Okay, there's there are many areas that I'm not an expert in. Okay, so the process of getting authority, like how I went about doing that, is that the question?
Yeah, yeah. And okay. How do you define authority, by the way?
Okay. Yes.
Followers.
Really, really interesting. Yeah. No, I think authority has to do with people trusting you. That's one factor. Authority also has to do with a certain amount of expertise. And I don't know if you probably read Tim Ferriss, you know, the 4-Hour Workweek guy. I was, you know, in his book, he basically said, you know, for you to be an expert, you don't have to know everything about a specific topic. You just have to know more than the average, like a lot more than the average, and then you're an expert, okay? So in terms of the authority piece, though, it really was a lot of work. I mean, this I've been working on this for about 3 years, like, you know, doing this business, and I really did a number of different strategies, but one was knowing what the competition was, the quote-unquote competition, like who else out in the world, who's blogging and writing about social media for nonprofits, okay? So I did some research, found, like, the key players that I can all put on, you know, maybe 10 people, let's say, okay? And then I asked myself, how are they talking about it? Are they talking about it in very general terms? Are they, you know, are they using video or not? How are they, what's the content look like? And how can I talk about it differently that might be more useful, okay? And what I realized is that a lot of what I was seeing out there was kind of more general terms, like, oh, yeah, social media is good. You should be out there on the web. It's a great thing to, quote-unquote, start a conversation, right? So there was, I found, you know, good stuff out there, and that content is very valuable. But I felt like what was missing was the tactical stuff. Like, okay, I have a YouTube page. How do I make it look really cool and create a YouTube theme and do all this tactical stuff, right? So I just started putting out tons of that type of content, and people started subscribing and getting a lot of value out of what I was writing. And, you know, I had case studies and so forth I was writing about. So I think it's a combination of connecting with the right people and, you know, forming good relationships with them so that when you're ready to kind of launch off into that authority pool, they're helping you. They're like grabbing your ankles and like launching you into that pool. But you kind of have to have the content and you really have to have the expertise to back it up too. You just can't be like, oh yeah, I'm the big expert. And then when people look under the hood, it's like there's nothing there, you know?
Hmm. When you're working with clients, what tools and technology are you using to assess what's going on and begin to develop plans and strategies and then on top of that, track performance? Are there any tools and technologies that you recommend and could talk a little bit about?
Yeah. I actually have a requirement with almost every single client I work with that they have to use Google Analytics, okay, because that's a way that I can be accountable to them, right? It's good for me to say, hey, Twitter's so great and Facebook is this and that, but if they're not getting real results that they can attribute back to me, then they're probably not going to recommend me to somebody else. So I tell people, like, you have to install Google Analytics. Here, I'll help you how to do it first, okay? And then I have access to that account too, so I can actually see from my end, you know, without using any username and password, I could see literally what's going on in terms of the actual traffic as the result of the work that we're doing together. And then I can kind of guide the strategy based on that, you know, among many things. So what I do is I find out what the problem is. Like, what are they looking to do? What's the business goal? Are they looking just to create awareness? Are they looking to increase fundraising? What have they done that's working? And what are they, like, what's not working? What are they trying to do? A lot of work I do is, you know, 50% strategy stuff, but a lot of it is the tactical, like, oh, you need a blog. Great. I'm going to build you a blog. Here's your blog, you know. So it's that type of, like, installing stuff, you know, like installations. you know.
Right.
But the two are closely related, you know, the strategy and the install, you know.
What's your take on ghostwriting and ghostwriting for clients and helping them get started and jumpstart what they're doing?
You know what? Honestly, I don't have much to say on that topic. So officially for this interview, no.
Right.
I haven't really encountered like a ghostwriting, like that issue. Nonprofits asking me about it. So honestly, I'm not informed enough to even have an opinion on it. You know.
Good neutral answer to a tough question.
Yeah.
What about the overall measurement for social media? Investment. You mentioned some good points. What is the client trying to accomplish? Is it awareness? Is it brand building? Is it fundraising? You know, and are you getting as granular to be part of, you know, performance measurement with really what anybody can come at you with what they want? Or are you, you know, trying to be more granular with improving traffic, you know, increasing conversations? You know, tell us a little bit about the performance measurement that you have really helped it, you know, get results for.
Yeah, I think the easiest way to measure social media, because it's hard, it is really hard to say, okay, this person donated because you did this thing on Twitter. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's really hard to have that direct line of cause and effect. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what you can measure is you can measure things like traffic. You can basically measure anything that's a click, okay? Traffic, coming to the site. Engagement is really easy to measure on Twitter. There are a whole bunch of things you can measure on a Facebook page as well. And then you can, you know, measure click-throughs on links and so forth. So the general idea is to measure the engagement rather than the financial transaction part, you know, at least initially, you know.
Mm.
And then you can eventually, because especially for nonprofits that are just starting out in social media, their executive boards, they really do push, we need to see a return on this, okay? But it's difficult because social media, you're not going to get a return right away. Like, you're not going to have people donating just because you're on Twitter. It's just not going to happen. And nonprofits need to understand that, you know. And there's certainly no silver bullet either, you know. It has to work with email marketing, direct mail, and all that.
Let's take a break, everybody. We'll be back in just a couple minutes with a few more tough questions for John. Back in a second.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
AFCON 2010, the trade show that you know where affiliates always attend for free, makes its way to Denver, June 21st through 23rd. Register today at affcom2010.com. AFCON 2010 is different from those other affiliate trade shows designed for the affiliate manager, where you can pay up to $1,500 just on a single registration. That's why AFCON 2010 offers you an alternative, a show that's free for affiliates. Not to mention, over 80% of our attendees are affiliates. AFCON 2010 brings you a wide range of sessions essential for significant affiliate marketing achievement. Plus, we are proud to be working with Search Engine Strategies to present an additional day of all new search engine marketing sessions and tracks. Add unbeatable nighttime networking capped off by WebmasterRadio.fm's annual affiliate bash, and you have the complete affiliate trade show experience for free. Join the thousands in the affiliate marketing community that are making the switch to AFCON 2010, the trade show that's free for all affiliates. June 21st through 23rd in Denver. Register today at affcom2010.com. That's affcom2010.com. Charles, come on up and tell us about the great ROI we're getting from RevenueWire.
Thank you. Since I signed up with RevenueWire, conversions have increased dramatically. RevenueWire has an integrated shopping cart called SafeCart that offers highly accurate sales tracking, boosting our conversions through the roof. And now that they've added multiple international currencies to SafeCart, we're looking forward to seeing significant increases in our overseas sales of PC utility software from LavaSoft, PC Tools, Pareto Logic, and AvantQuest. With up to 75% commission, real-time sales tracking, free in-depth sales analytics and reporting tools, campaign optimization resources, and now weekly payments for top-performing affiliates, our sales are climbing higher and higher, thanks to RevenueWire.
Find out more at RevenueWire.com.
Hi, welcome to the SEO Shop. How may I help you?
Oh, hi. I'm looking for something for my website.
Well, I could slip your website into a sleek web campaign.
Okay.
Our professional internet marketing experts can custom tailor your web campaign with our SEO services, and by the time we're finished, your website will have such high organic search rankings that it'll turn the heads off of Google, Yahoo, and Bing.
I would love that.
SEO-shop.com.
The experts in professional internet marketing services.
Let us research, plan, execute, and succeed on your web campaign today with SEO-shop.com.
Best search strategies. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Search Engine Optimization Channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
Back on the show here. Thanks, everyone, for listening in with John Hayden. John, what do you think the future of social marketing looks like for the nonprofit world? Is it just growing exponentially? Is it becoming a critical element to success for nonprofit organizations? Is the guerrilla marketing wave really hitting nonprofits, you know, with social media kind of causing the wave?
Yeah. Well, which question do you want me to answer?
There were about seven so take a pick.
Well, I think nonprofits, you know, they really have to catch up. They really have to catch up. And I think, you know, they're doing great work, but, you know, a lot of nonprofits, they start the organization, they're really, you know, thought leaders in say, you know, cancer research and so forth. But unfortunately, they don't have that marketing hat. They don't have it. And so that's a big disadvantage in many ways. But I think as the, you know, I have a few clients who've said to me, look, we need to get this thing going with Facebook and Twitter because guess what? Our average donor is a 70-year-old lady, and she just doesn't use Facebook, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in order for an organization to continue, they have to, like, look at social media in some way. And again, it should be used with direct mail, email marketing, a bunch of other things, but it's one thing that really needs to be considered, especially, you know, for the future, right? Facebook, last month, just beat Google in a traffic referral, right? So basically, Facebook is generating more referral traffic than Google, like referring directly to sites.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do with that people are sharing more. That's really what it's about. Like, we have this culture now where, you know, you have a certain age group, and they're used to sharing. I have a really cool thing I want to share. I have a tip. I'm going to share it with my friend, you know? And I think nonprofits kind of need to get into that
mindset,
that wave. Yeah, that mindset, you know?
You know, it's interesting to me because if you think about fundraising as it's known, you know, on today's date, and typically there are often events and social activities that are part of the fundraising effort, it would seem to me that social media is in fact the ideal place for nonprofits and fundraising events to follow the path of. You know, am I wrong about that, or is it all about the thoughts and opinions and passion of these people that can share experiences of lost loved ones and other things? And it's just ripe out there, John, isn't it? I mean, you couldn't have a more fertile environment for social media marketing than nonprofits.
Yep. It's incredible. I'm telling you. You know why? Because check it out. When you go and you buy, let's say you buy a new pair of pants at the Gap, okay? How many people, do you really care about those pair of pants? No, you put your pair of pants on, you go to work, right? But if you have a sister that has breast cancer, that's going to hit you, okay? And you're going to want to share and talk about that experience and fight for that cause. Nonprofits have a huge leg up in that one respect, is that people want to talk about the stuff that they're doing. Not everybody will, but the people that are already talking about your breast cancer or Haiti, that's what you can hook into instantly with social media. That's what's cool, is you get hooked into these conversations that are already happening. You know, they find out about your organization. They want to get involved. If it's a right fit for them, they get involved. Then you have an event. They can use social media to promote that. You know, it's very ripe, especially because these conversations are happening right now.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there's so many experiences that we can share, and the nonprofit world is giving people an outlet very often to show appreciation for someone's life that may have been lost, or a bad situation that could get better with funding. And the expression, it has got to be there for people on Facebook. Have you done any crunching and analysis of people talking about their affiliation with nonprofit organizations, and how much chatter is going on at Facebook and Twitter, and how many conversations or even content is being put out there right now for organizations? I mean, it must be a field day, no?
Yeah. There's a lot. You know, I did some work with an organization called Epic Change last year, and oh my God, I even have PowerPoint in front of me. Let me just see. I have it on my laptop. It'll take a minute to pull up, but we measured a lot of things. One of them was conversations, like how many tweets are happening, how many posts on Twitter, how many videos up on YouTube, how many photos on Flickr, like around this particular particular event. And one thing, just as a side note, one thing that I often recommend to nonprofits, if they're going to use social media to raise money, make it a short window. Say, look, we're doing this thing for 24 hours. Get on board and talk about it. That's it. Because people are busy, even though they love your nonprofit, they're totally passionate about it, they're busy. If you give them 24 hours, then they know, okay, cool, 24 hours, I can do that, great. And they'll do it because it's actionable,
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. We did track a lot of, in that particular example, we tracked a lot of the chatter, the conversations that were happening,
Right. One example of that's kind of interesting, over the holidays, and I can only imagine that if a campaign were launched, that a social media campaign promoting this particular event, it could have been sensational and really interesting. But Jimmy Choo, famous, designer, had a project that was affiliated with the Elton John AIDS Foundation. And they produced a whole line of product which featured these very interesting, very graphic shoes and handbags and wallets. And it's a beautiful line. I bought my wife a piece. And it struck me as very powerful, and I wanted to partake in it because we had just come back from a trip to Africa where we visited an orphanage, the very orphanage that Elton John had built several homes on this orphanage. So we felt super close to this effort by Jimmy Choo. Not to mention my wife loves fashion anyway, but it was it was a direct connect, And if I had even seen a tweet on that and a Facebook account on that, a Facebook post on that, I would have been interested in that, And with the tracking going along, these days of knowing where people traveled and their interest, and somebody could have looked at some documentation I have about the trip or listened to the show, and they could have put that content together, that I just went to Africa, that I went to the orphanage that Elton John built a couple houses, and boom, if I had just magically seen a tweet or a piece of content related to this cause, boom, I probably would have donated, which I did anyway on my own because I stumbled on it. But do you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like it's all right there in front of you for this fundraising drive. Don't you agree with that?
Yeah, I completely agree with it. And it's interesting because what I see happening in the future is that content, the chatter, you're going to see tools that are going to refine it so nicely so that that nonprofit can easily say, hey, here's what people are talking about us on Facebook, Twitter, and all this stuff, and push that content out to to the right places so that they can create even more awareness. But but I think you're right. It's still, we're still at a time where these conversations are happening, but they're like very, very disconnected, you know? And they need to, they'll get pulled together over time, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're going to be the guy that pulls them together, John.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's on your shoulders, not mine. But these are all good ideas. You know, are there any secrets to pitching business, you know, for these nonprofits? I mean, when we think of nonprofits, we don't think of huge marketing budgets. But, you know, as you're, as I'm sure you're well aware of, they need to market their businesses. It's a do or die situation. So they need to be smart. They need to be aggressive. But, you know, how do you find the clients interested, you know, in your case, in social media? You know, is it like traditional marketing? How do you reach these people that have budgets and are interested in your services?
Well, the cool thing is, Byron, is that I'm using the tool, the strategies, and all the stuff that I teach my clients. Right. So all my leads are literally all inbound leads. They're totally inbound. Right. People find me on search. They follow me on Twitter. They hear about me from somebody else. They read about me on this blog post. And they come to me. I get inbound leads, okay? Now, in terms of entering a client relationship with them, I don't know any nonprofit, unless it's like, you know, they're the huge national ones, but most of them, you know, they don't have the money right away, okay? But they need to see a return. So what I do is I have a couple of ways where clients can engage with me in a very low-cost way where they can get huge benefit right up front, okay? I have something that I do. It's called a social media optimizer, and it's basically an entire assessment and audit of whatever they're doing online with my recommendations, like do this, okay? Nine times out of ten, they get that report, and it comes with a screencast, too, like a video of me talking about all their stuff. Nine times out of ten, they come back to me and say, hey, I really like what you told us, and we did these three or four things, but the other stuff, like the blog, you know, can you help with us with a blog? Oh, yeah, I can definitely help you out with the blog. Boom.
Right.
Then that gets into a deeper relationship, you know? So
right.
I try and lower the barrier to entry as much as possible. That's how I, you know, because it's one thing to get the lead, get the traffic, get the people coming to my site and saying, yeah, I really like what you do. There's a totally different story between that and them saying, here, let me, where do I write that check? Who do I sign it over to? You know,
right,
that kind of thing.
Right.
It's a huge leap. You know?
Is what you're doing scalable, though? You know, I wonder, or is it really more you're going to be the happiest consultant servicing fabulous clients that love you for the remainder of your natural life? Do you know what I mean? Or do you build a business around it, you know, and try to really take it to the next level? I don't know what your company's structure is, so could you comment on that?
I'm going to comment on that. That's what I'm in the middle of. That's what I'm not an expert on. Like, how do I scale this thing, okay?
Yeah.
So right now, I'm getting a lot of business, and it's awesome, and I'm really trying to I have a couple people that I subcontract with, you know, that do different areas of different projects. So I'm trying to scale things that way, but honestly, I mean, you know more about this than I have. I looked at a little bit about you. You've been around. You know more than I do. You know,
been around the block a few times.
Yeah, seriously, man. I mean,
but it's a great challenge for yourself, and you'll sort it out. But you feel that momentum that this is something that you know you could offer value to a variety of clients and service them in a variety of ways with the staff working below you, basically.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's great.
I feel like now getting from there, from here where I am, I have to like jump across this massive cliff, like this Grand Canyon, over to the other side. Now how I'm going to get there, I don't know. I feel like I have to just jump off and like build the plane on the way down, and then somehow start flying a little bit, and then get over to that other edge. You know.
Are there any final tips before we sign off on our guests here that I think have been riveted with this conversation today? Because you know the nonprofit world is really exciting. It's you know, for so many reasons and so many different reasons. You know, it's just really great and fresh to hear it. But do you have any closing tips on, you know, marketing a service like yours to nonprofits? You know, you talked a little bit about sort of using social media to sell social media, which makes sense, right? But anything more granular? Any, is video working? You know, great. Is it long emails back and forth? Is it teasers on your technology? Is it lead gen on your site? Is it pushing out great content and pulling in inbound leads? And is it webinars? Is it webcasts, workbooks, podcasts? I mean, what? There's so many choices, so little time.
I know. It's insane. I think for me, the biggest thing is my blog. The biggest thing is my blog. Okay. And what I try and do is, and I know this is like not many business people would think of this, but or it might go against the norm, what someone would normally think, is I basically give away everything for free as much as I possibly can. Like, I literally tell people everything that I know. It's all on my blog. I mean, if you search my blog, you get everything I know, okay? I give it all away. The people that hire me are the people that want me to take that knowledge and make it personal for them. So the blog is like, that's my biggest marketing tool, because I can demonstrate my expertise. I can show up and search for my ideal customer. They'll search for me and they'll find me. Oh, who's this guy? Oh, this is cool. I want this, you know? So the blog for me is like such a powerful tool in so many ways, you know? Because you can customize the thing too, you know? Make it look a certain way, present certain content, throw up a page on a product that you want to try out. You know, hey, I think I'll try and sell something this way. I'll just throw up a WordPress page. Takes 10 minutes, you know? Blog is such a powerful thing to use, you know?
John, how can people get a hold of you, and who would you like to get a hold of you?
Nonprofits. I mean, if there are any nonprofits on the phone, I'd love to work with them. Or, you know, I do have a lot of clients that have called me in the past and said, hey, you know, I know you only work with nonprofits, but I'm a for-profit. Would you be willing to work with me? Yes. Okay. If you have money, that's fine too, you know. but you can get a hold of me at on Twitter, just at John Haydon, JohnHaydon. And then my email is me@johnhaydon.com. Again, HAYDON.com.
Well, John, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Thanks for the wisdom, and thanks for helping nonprofits raise money and make the world a better place.
Great. Thank you so much, Byron.
Pleasure. See you in the streets of Boston. You're local.
Oh, yeah, I know, man.
Stop by our office anytime. 240 Commercial Street, and that includes any listeners out there. We'd love to have you by and show you our digs and show you what we're doing. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next week. Right on, everyone. Hope your life's a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser. We'll see you next week.